and welcome to episode 1 of the Return of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. And happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. If you're not a father, but your father's still with us, be sure to reach out to him today, because you won't always have that opportunity. Just a bit of house cleaning to begin with. Then, since it's Sunday, we'll begin our journey together of reading the Bible in a year with Romans chapters 1 and 2. Today's episode, unfortunately, is going out late. Not too auspicious of a beginning. But going forward, I'll push these episodes out at 11 p.m. Pacific time so that for those that are in the UK and similar time zones, you can have each day's episode in the morning. I know that there are a lot of you that listen over there, and I'm grateful for you. I had planned to have this episode on that schedule, but just as I was about to begin the episode last night, my wife, the lovely Lady Leanne, had some car trouble, so I had to rush out and rescue her. She works about a half an hour away, and we had dinner before we came home, and by the time I got back to the studio, it was just too late to record. So, today being a Sunday, we'll be reading from the epistles. And if you haven't heard episode 0, I encourage you to listen so that you'll have an idea of how we're going to approach this 52-week reading of the Bible this time. As I said earlier, we're going to be reading today from Romans 1 and 2. And I should tell you that because of copyrights, I'll be using several different translations during the coming 52 weeks. Today, Romans 1 will be from the Contemporary English Version, and chapter 2 will be from the New English Version. I should say the New English Translation. Sometimes the entire reading will be from just one version, sometimes from multiple versions. All right, enough preamble. Let's begin. Romans chapter 1. From Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. God chose me to be an apostle, and he appointed me to preach the good news that he promised long ago by what his prophets said in the Holy Scriptures. This good news is about his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. As a human, he was from the family of David. But the Holy Spirit proved that Jesus is the powerful Son of God because he was raised from death. Jesus was kind to me and chose me to be an apostle, so that people of all nations would obey and have faith. You are some of those people chosen by Jesus Christ. This letter is to all of you in Rome. God loves you and has chosen you to be his very own people. I pray that God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ will be kind to you and will bless you with peace. First, I thank God in the name of Jesus Christ for all of you. I do this because people everywhere in the world are talking about your faith. God has seen how I never stop praying for you while I serve him with all my heart and tell the good news about his Son. In all my prayers, I ask God to make it possible for me to visit you. I want to see you and share with you the same blessings that God's Spirit has given me. Then you will grow stronger in your faith. What I am saying is that we can encourage each other by the faith that is ours. My friends, I want you to know that I have often planned to come for a visit, but something has always kept me from doing it. I want to win followers to Christ in Rome, as I have done in many other places. It doesn't matter if people are civilized and educated, or if they are uncivilized and uneducated. I must tell the good news to everyone. That is why I am eager to visit all of you in Rome. I am proud of the good news. It is God's powerful way of saving all people who have faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. The good news tells how God accepts everyone who has faith, but only those who have faith. It is just as the Scriptures say, the people God accepts because of their faith will live. From heaven, God shows how angry he is with all the wicked and evil things that sinful people do to crush the truth. They know everything that can be known about God because God has shown it all to them. God's eternal power and character cannot be seen. But from the beginning of creation, God has shown what these are like by all he has made. That's why those people don't have any excuse. They know about God, but they don't honor him or even thank him. Their thoughts are useless, and their stupid minds are in the dark. They claim to be wise, but they're fools. They don't worship the glorious and eternal God. Instead, they worship idols that are made to look like humans who cannot live forever, and like birds, animals, and reptiles. So God let these people go their own way. They did what they wanted to do, and their filthy thoughts made them do shameful things with their bodies. They gave up the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped God's creation instead of God, who will be praised forever. Amen. God let them follow their own evil desires. Women no longer wanted to have sex in a natural way, and they did things with each other that were not natural. Men behaved in the same way. They stopped wanting to have sex with women and had strong desires for sex with other men. They did shameful things with each other, and what has happened to them is punishment for their foolish deeds. Since these people refused even to think about God, He let their useless minds rule over them. That's why they do all sorts of indecent things. They are evil, wicked, and greedy, as well as mean in every possible way. They want what others have, and they murder, argue, cheat, and are hard to get along with. They gossip, say cruel things about others, and hate God. They are proud, conceited, and boastful, always thinking up new ways to do evil. These people don't respect their parents. They are stupid, unreliable, and don't have any love or pity for others. They know God has said that anyone who acts this way deserves to die, but they keep on doing evil things, and they even encourage others to do them. Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you are without excuse, whoever you are, when you judge someone else. For on whatever grounds you judge another, you condemn yourself, because you who judge practice the same things. Now we know that God's judgment is in accordance with truth against those who practice such things. And do you think, whoever you are, when you judge those who practice such things, and yet do them yourself, that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you have contempt for the wealth of His kindness, forbearance, and patience, and do not know that God's kindness leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed. He will reward each one according to his works, eternal life to those who by perseverance in good works seek glory and honor in immortality, but wrath and anger to those who live in selfish ambition and do not obey the truth but follow unrighteousness. There will be affliction and distress on everyone who does evil, on the Jew first and also on the Greek, but glory and honor in peace for everyone who does good, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For there is no partiality with God, for all who have sinned apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous before God, but those who do the law will be declared righteous. For whenever the Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things required by the law, these who do not have the law are a law to themselves. They show that the work of the law is written in their hearts, as their conscience bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or else defend them, on the day when God will judge the secrets of human hearts according to my gospel through Christ Jesus. But if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast of your relationship to God and know His will and approve the superior things because you receive instruction from the law, and if you are convinced that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an educator of the senseless, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the essential features of knowledge and of truth, therefore you who teach someone else, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who tell others not to commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law dishonor God by transgressing the law. For just as it is written, the name of God is being blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. For circumcision has its value if you practice the law. But if you break the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcised man obeys the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised man who keeps the law judge you who, despite the written code and circumcision, transgress the law? For a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision something that is outward in the flesh. But someone is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart by the Spirit, and not by the written code. This person's praise is not from people, but from God. The book of Romans is so rich. I just love it. In his opening, Paul said that this letter is to all the beloved of God in Rome, called to be holy. To be holy, set apart, different, to live for God. Being a believer in Rome was not easy. Christians were persecuted. They were not favored by the culture or the political system. Yet they were beloved of God, called to be holy. And so are we, dear ones. Paul went on to say, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." In the midst of this city, the seat of Rome's power, that world-conquering kingdom bent on subjugating every person, Paul sent them this letter, reminding them that God brings grace and peace. May we also be reminded of this today, in the midst of the turmoil that surrounds us. Tomorrow we'll read Genesis chapters 1 through 3. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.